Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Buffer Podcast. This is it's weird. We haven't done a Buffer Podcast not over Zoom in years, and I say that in all sincerity, right, Joel? I think it's been 2 to 3 years since the last time we were in the same room doing a podcast.
Yeah, it is. We're the first time. Wow. We're at my kitchen table.
Yeah.
And so it may be a little echoey, more echoey, but we're like, yes. You know what? We want to watch the Alabama game on mute while we're talking about these movies. And we've got some times where we were able to get together one-on-one. And it's been 2 years at least.
Holy cow. So where Joel lives, where we both live in Muscatine, Iowa, we have a local theater that's really nice. And that's what we used to do. So just some history on this show. Used to go see a movie and then record a podcast in their party room, and we did that. That was our plan. And then I think I had a third kid and it kind of petered off, and then we resurrected it during the pandemic. But to be in person together, and we've had opportunities to do, we could do this, but we all have, you and I both have families, but it just so happens that your family is out of town. You are Kevin McAllister right now.
I am home alone. It is, you know, parent-teacher conferences week, and my wife is a teacher. And just without going into too many detail, there was an opportunity for them to go back and visit the other set of grandparents, and I had obligations for high school football on a Friday night. And so it just worked that I am living the bachelor life for 4 days. But I was left a large honey-do list, which we'll talk more about in the dress socks and Crocs portion.
Perfect.
Of the episode. But yeah, no, we're flying solo. It's just me and my almost 2-year-old yellow lab for the next 72 hours.
That's so
wild. And I took a vacation day yesterday. So I've had some freedom, but I'll save this for dress socks and Crocs.
I get it. It's definitely a nice break, and it's cool to be able to do this. And there's a lot to unpack in the world of content. So many things hitting theaters or streaming platforms, some shows coming back, and we have a lot of ground to cover on the Buffer. And I just hope that this isn't the episode that people are like, that's the best episode ever.
And then we're in the same room.
Yeah, we're going to like set this precedent that we have to like, and my plan is once I finish the space above my garage, that could be where I just have a permanent setup that I either go out and record stuff via Zoom, or it's just like, because I got that parking slab right next to it, you could just walk. I mean,
because we usually do this like between 9 and 10 p.m.
Yes.
On a Thursday night,
right,
or a Friday night, or a,
yes,
Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Saturday evening. It's a little bit after 6.
Yeah.
We just watched the Iowa State Cyclones beat Oklahoma State, the number 7 ranked team in the country. Oklahoma State still covered the spread, if you're inclined to pay attention to those sorts of things. It just worked out that we're able to do this. And I personally am in favor of how content is being distributed post-quarantine, because I can see the movie theater from my deck. But my current lifestyle with 3 kids and activities, a full-time job, I'm very happy that these 2 pieces of content we're going to discuss today were released to streaming as well, because I don't think I could have fit it into my schedule.
No.
To go see them both in the theater.
Well, and I think, to your point, we're talking about Dune and Halloween Kills.
You said Dune week. A little too Dune. Aggro. It needs to be Dune.
Dune. It would have been tough to justify Dune because it's 2.5 hours long. And then it would have been tough to justify Halloween Kills because, well, it wasn't that good. But it's still October, and it's a Halloween movie, and it's Michael Myers, and it was number 1 at the box office.
And it's Blumhouse. I mean, it's everything that we like.
Is this the worst? I'm just going to start. I'm starting I'm talking about Halloween Kills. Is this the worst Blumhouse-backed movie that Jason Blum has done? Is Halloween Kills the worst movie that they've put out?
Okay, so let's parse that out. I think it's in the conversation, but what else is also in that conversation?
Well, if you give me a second,
I was going. Oh, okay. I thought you were prepared.
I don't have that in front of me. But listen, Halloween comes out in 2018. We see it in theaters, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we saw that. So I am not a scary movie person, and you.
Yes.
Made me go to so many scary movies. Happy Death Day, which...
So good!
Was great.
Blumhouse.
The first one that you pushed me towards was not really a horror movie, mm-hmm. but kind of was, and that was Get Out.
Yes.
And then, which again, are these all Blumhouse? Because Get Out's Blumhouse, isn't it?
Yeah. So Jordan Peele and Jason Blum are in cahoots.
So they're the...
Because now Jordan Peele has, I think it's, is it Monkey Paw?
Possibly.
Productions in conjunction with Blumhouse. So they did Get Out, they did Us, I think.
Candyman,
Peele was a producer on, and then Jordan has another movie that comes out next year that looks amazing.
Why is it that all serial killers and like horror movie people are from Illinois? Candyman, that's a great question. Michael Myers, right. Isn't
yeah,
that's Jason a great question. From Friday the 13th?
Crystal Lake? Did they identify that there is a Crystal Lake, Illinois?
I think it's Crystal Lake,
Camp Illinois? Crystal Lake. I don't know why. I'm just going to say, and I'm looking
John Wayne Gacy.
I'm looking at the list of Blumhouse releases, and there are definitely some... If you're talking about like a big theatrical release, I'm going to say Halloween Kills is the biggest turkey that they've put out. I'm really excited for The Black Phone.
Don't tell me what you're excited about. Tell me what else is in the conversation with Halloween.
As far as what's been not good?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just
purges?
Hit you.
Purges? I mean, there's got to be one of the last couple purges.
So the purge is in there. Get Out, as you mentioned. The Manor, Truth or Dare, The Invisible Man, which was good. Sinister.
Was The Invisible Man good?
I liked it.
I didn't watch it.
It's better than Halloween Kills, 100%. I haven't seen Freaky, but I've heard that's good. You mentioned Happy Death Day. Nocturne is one that I haven't seen. The Hunt. Ma, which was kind of a fun one. The Visit. Split, which is fantastic. 17 other Purges. 17 other Insidiouses. So I mean, I'll give you that maybe some of the Purge movies and some of the Insidious movies are not as strong. But I really think this Halloween Kills is just...
The worst.
It's just not the best.
So
it's just not the best.
You were a Halloween fan. And that was one of our first... podcasts in our mm-hmm. former format.
Sure.
We loved this reboot of the Halloween. Yeah. The last one episode.
It was great.
What about Halloween Kills fell flat?
Well, first of all, did you know that Jason Blum produced Whiplash?
Yes, I did know that.
Okay, I didn't know that. I just looked that up. So David Gordon Green,
which for the listener who may be new to this episode, Whiplash is a frequent reference from me.
You love it.
I want to be the J.K. Simmons character for Halloween some year. Anyway, yeah.
So Halloween comes out in 2018, and they're basically saying that is the direct sequel to the 1978 Halloween. Forget everything that happened. Here's what happens 40 years later.
Okay.
So, okay, they announced back in 2017 or 18 that they're doing 3 movies. So... You go, what is Halloween Kills going to be? Because Halloween 2, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis's character's in the hospital. I would argue that the original Halloween 2 sequel is better than Halloween Kills. Halloween Kills is just Michael Myers, spoiler alert, killing 30-plus people.
Right.
And then the town of Haddonfield going, we're going to get this guy, led by a not super convincing Anthony Michael Hall. There's a lot of weird nods to people that were in the original one or two or original movie.
Like the Lonnie group and that whole...
Yeah, it just doesn't work. And then the whole time, this hour and 45-minute movie, you're going... But there's a third one called Halloween Ends. So there's no way that Michael Myers is going to die. Even correct. When Judy Greer sticks a knife in his neck. During
and,
that
and curb
scene,
stomps him.
And yes, and during that
spoilers,
scene,
sorry.
I'm like, you have to cut his head off, essentially. And then unfortunately, Judy Greer meets her demise. So I think what we're going to do, and from what I've heard, David Gordon Green say is there's a time jump of like 3 to 4 years in between the events of Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends.
Right, because this one was right that same night.
The yeah. longest Halloween ever in Haddonfield.
Right. People aged.
I don't know why they, I don't know why they had to like, you know, they did a lot of stuff where they redid some of the 78 movie, which I guess kudos to that, to kind of give some context to some of the other characters, but it, nothing really advances the plot. You know that Michael Myers isn't going to die, and my hope is that with Halloween Ends, he does, right? Something, there has to be some type of conclusion, even though probably 5 years after that, there'll be another Halloween movie. But for this trilogy, I would like to see something happen of substance, because Halloween Kills, even if I look at it objectively as an October Halloween movie, Michael Myers, Jamie Lee Curtis, it's still bad. It's really bad. And I wanted it to be good because this is kind of my thing. But it's just gory for the sake of being gory. And there's no real consequences except for the people that Michael Myers murders, because you know this guy's just going to be okay.
The way that the first responders were...
Ooh.
So, because in the first new Blumhouse Halloween,
mm-hmm.
they basically turn Jamie Lee Curtis's house into this, you know, crematorium. It's just going to burn him alive.
Right.
But somebody calls the fire department.
Right.
So the fire department shows up to try to put the fire out.
Yeah. I don't remember her having neighbors, but I guess if you're within a couple miles, you see a blaze.
Which, what's that comedian's name who was the neighbor? The guy, he's from Boston.
Is it Bill Burr?
No, it's the old guy. It's
Lenny.
Lenny, yes,
yeah.
He throws 100 miles an hour for the 45 seconds he's in the movie. But Lenny Clark.
They wipe out a lot of some firefighters' unions. I think were upset with how they were handled. But again, it's a movie, right?
I have all the respect in the world for first responders,
but it's a freaking movie. Like, it's a Michael Myers movie. You know that
the firefighter cranking up the saw. Awesome. Like, I'm gonna come after this guy. So you know that's not gonna end well.
So I just think, in this podcast, we debate two pieces of content. I'm here to say I'm falling on the butcher knife. Halloween Kills is not going to beat Dune in any conversation. Even if, and I have a lot of opinions about Dune that are not maybe the best, but even if we were just looking at this, like, based on the cumulative review, like, Halloween Kills on RottenTomatoes.com is 38%, where Dune is sitting at 84. So, I don't need, and we often talk about, like, what is the rewatchability factor of a Halloween Kills or any piece of content. I'm not going to rewatch Halloween Kills again, probably ever. We were talking about the movie Orgasmo earlier, and I've said I've seen that movie one time when I was 13 or 14, and I'm never going to see it again, probably, right? There's just some movies you see, and you're like, well, I don't need to watch that again. You know,
and then I've seen that movie 6 or 7 times.
And then the best are when it's a surprise, like one of our favorites that we reference a lot, Just Friends. Yeah. You're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I want to watch this all the time. Halloween Kills, I'm not going to see it again. I'm not going to recommend it to people. If anything, I told people to stay away from it. And they said, well, how am I going to be prepared for Halloween Ends? And I was like, here, let me sum it up for you. Michael Myers is still alive. Jamie Lee Curtis is still alive. Her granddaughter's still alive. Judy Greer dies. The end. They brought back Dr. Loomis in a very creative way,
right,
in a non-CGI practical effects. Cool. But, like, for what reason? They did all this work recreating the 78 mask and house, and it's bad. And I apologize to David Gordon Green and the crew, because you're doing good work and your intentions are pure, but this movie serves no point. We don't need it.
The other component of why do people still live in Mike Myers' house?
That's a great point.
Or Michael Myers' house at some point.
They had it decked out pretty nicely, though.
Well, I mean, Little John and Big John, they knew what they were doing. But the actor, Little John, who will always be the look what I can do guy from Mad TV.
He's so funny.
I can't remember his name. I'm totally just drawing a blank.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious how people can just singularly...
Michael McDonald, of course.
Is it Michael McDonald?
Yeah, okay. I just looked that up. So, that's great.
Okay, and then it's Will Sasso, who did Michael McDonald
right.
on Mad TV. Yes. That's where my brain yes. was confusing the two. It's hard for me to keep forget. I just have to do a Michael McDonald impersonation every
time. And like, I don't even care that Nick Castle, who was originally the Shape, Michael Myers in 78, is back in the role. Like, I like Nick Castle, but it's just, it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
There's no redeeming qualities of this movie. Do you know that they were trying to get Paul Rudd to come back?
He was in one of the
ones. Yes. And he was busy. With whatever he was doing,
I've that heard
was
him better than pan this. His experience yeah. on Halloween in interviews. Yeah. Maybe he'll be in the last one. Who knows?
I will say that Dylan Arnold, who plays Cameron in Halloween Kills, is also the neighbor Theodore in You season 3, okay. which we're going to talk about in a little bit. So there are definitely some talented people.
So,
in Halloween yeah. 2018,
and there were
Halloween
some set
Kills.
Pieces that worked really well. The fireman scene,
sure.
was really entertaining mm-hmm. and well shot and well done. The scene at the playground where the kid, what I do yeah. appreciate about this movie is that this generation of children are not scared of things because right. they think everything is just a lame adult trying to do something, which is yep. maybe part of the problem in the world.
Yep.
They're like swinging on the swing set, and you know the girl walks up, and she's like, and this is in the trailer. She's like, there's this guy with a white mask who's just trying to hide and go seek with us, and she's like, run, and no one runs, and it's just, yep. it's one of those things where it's. It was a lot. There were laughs in Halloween that I don't Definitely. Think were intended to be funny.
No.
It's like, oh, are you kidding me?
And you have to remember, we're talking about David Gordon Green that, you know, directed Pineapple Express and
right.
Your Highness and is best friends and works closely with Danny McBride. And that's not to say that, again, Halloween 2018 is very good. This is not. And I'm very optimistic, and I will see Halloween Ends. I don't think it'll probably be streaming the same day on Peacock this did.
And I said to you, I think one of the reasons why this movie was, I struggled with it, was because I knew there was another one coming.
Yes.
I think you, with horror movies and things like this, the studios need to do a better job of protecting their intention. If you can not, if you can leave me believing mm-hmm. that Michael Myers is going to die, then I'm much more excited and mm-hmm. anticipatory when I find out, even if it's in a post-credit scene, mm-hmm. that, oh my, there's going to be a third one.
Yeah.
There's another one coming.
October 14th, 2022, Halloween Ends. David Gordon Green has said, not like I mentioned, it deals with a 4-year time jump and will address the pandemic. And he's described it as, quote, a coming-of-age story and more intimate movie where some characters have processed the insanity of the circus and massacre. And not only that, but they've processed the world as it spun
Is Michael Myers going to be in therapy with, like, Lorraine Bracco? Or
I don't know. Is he going to have a mask on his mask? Like, I don't know what's going to happen. But Halloween Kills. Mask on his mask. Thank you. A mask on his mask. That was for you, Mike Bridenstine. But like, what are they like? Why do we need to see like social distancing signs in Haddonfield?
He's
like,
gonna have a longer knife.
We watch.
He can kill from 6 feet away.
We watch movies to escape our real world pandemic hell. Of
yeah,
a
if
life,
I want to watch something about which again, I know we have a little variety of listeners.
Yes.
I'm very, very pro social distancing. You know, be safe. Do what you need to do. Whatever. But when I go to a movie, it's escapism. Don't need to be completely reminded
right.
of the times that I'm living in. Honestly, one of the reasons why I like that these things are streaming is because I have 3 children who aren't vaccinated yet, so I'm not super keen about going out and about all the time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So. Yeah, don't make this an allegory of 2016 through 2020. Yeah. Just give us a gosh darn yeah. slasher film,
and
right?
We got a ton of character work in 2018's Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis and her whole backstory of being kind of like overly prepared, and the torture dungeon, as you alluded to. So I don't know, like, what is she going to have processed? Like, her daughter got killed by Michael Myers. Yep, now it's time to end this guy. So Halloween Kills, in my opinion, you can skip it. If anything, given that we're still in October, just rewatch the original Halloween from 1978. I would still say that's my favorite scary movie of all time. Or check out what Joel's going to talk about,
which is Dune. And I remember Dune, the original from 1984, not originally in 1984. My aunt and uncle had the laser disc. They had the laser disc of Halloween as well. So this fantastic. Is like the laser disc collection.
Yeah.
But they had the laser disc of Dune. My best friend, Adam Webb from college, his dad would always talk about Dune. Like when we... you know, at his parents' house in Ames, Iowa, you know, on a spring break or whatever. And his dad's like, "You guys want to watch Dune?" I'm like, "No, we don't want to watch Dune, Lee." But Dune, the source material, is actually the best-selling science fiction novel in history. It's one of this classic story from science fiction. You have this empire, you have these different houses, and then you have this planet where the resource of spice is harvested, and it's used for intergalactic travel, but the native people use it for, which could this be any more?
I know.
Allegorical right, to the right. Western the conquistadors yes. taking over yes. the United States uh-huh. and whatnot. And I think that's why it's good, because you can draw these parallels to what has actually happened, and that these science fiction novelists are really kind of good about mm-hmm. creating space to tell the story of what just happened yeah. with colonization
right.
in the United States or in on Earth. So there's the story in a nutshell. Let's just talk about this movie. The story is not anything out of this world. But man, does Denis Villeneuve make pretty and beautiful movies. Like, not since, like, The Abyss and, you know, some of the things that Cameron did early on, even Avatar, do you just have the... And a lot of it probably comes from some of the technology that he created. But some of just this realism in this science fiction space that, as much as I really didn't care for the actual... plot or the storytelling, sure. I couldn't take my eyes off of this film. I mean, this is an epic. This is, yeah. I think, it's 2 hours and 45 minutes long. It's part one.
Right? Part so one.
It's 2 hours and 45 part minutes long. One. And it's part one.
Oh my gosh.
But Josh Brolin, he's good in this. He's
yes. Didn't know he was in it. I did not know that.
Okay.
Had no idea.
I'm a big Oscar Isaac fan.
Yeah. He's good.
And there will be spoilers. You know, he obviously suffers a demise in this movie.
Which is an epic. That's yeah. probably one of the better scenes.
Yeah.
How he goes out with the tooth full of poison. Holy yeah. moly.
And the whole hunter seeker thing, like yeah. But Timothy Chalamet, let's talk about him for a minute. I have not seen the one that he did with Armie Hammer, the Call Me By Your Name.
Sure, right. I haven't seen that.
I know
that
he was nominated for Academy yeah. Award.
I've seen
for that.
Lady Bird. I remember
Lady
that.
Bird's one of my top yeah. 10 movies. I love. We've talked. We could do a podcast on Saoirse Ronan
yeah.
and. Laurie Metcalf. I'm as big of a Laurie Metcalf fan as you'll ever find in this world. So he's in that. Is he in Fault in Their Stars too? With
so he's
with
been
Shailene
in
Woodley,
Little Women, The King, Beautiful Boy, The Adderall Diaries, Interstellar.
Interstellar, that was the other one.
And then he's in The French Dispatch, which is a Wes Anderson movie coming out soon. And he teams up with Leo DiCaprio in Don't Look Up, which is coming to Netflix and theaters. Adam McKay has written and directed that. That's in December. So this Chalamet, he's busy.
He's Willy Wonka. He's Leonardo. Yeah.
He's going to be Willy Wonka.
Why are they making another Willy Wonka?
That's a great... Well, listen, I don't know, because they make money.
But Johnny Depp was such horse pucky.
Yeah.
And
not good.
I'm Gene Wilder. That was probably the seminal movie of my childhood as far as like artistic movies that I watched. Weird.
Yeah.
I sang Pure Imagination for my college auditions.
That's awesome.
But Chalamet is... I want to hate him. I'm going to be honest. Like, I want to kind of hate him. I hate the look.
Yeah.
The wet, longish hair. Like, he is everything that I'm not. Yes. Like, as you know, when I was his age, I was 6'2", 275 pounds, and just wanted to look like Jason Momoa. But here, who is great in this movie. Yeah. But here he is. He's everything I'm not.
And he's 26.
26, just beautiful. Right. Like
he did a good job when he hosted SNL, and I didn't really know who he was.
He's got skills, and he wins the movie for me here. Like, he and the actress who plays his mom, who she's
fantastic. Rebecca Ferguson.
Yes, Rebecca.
Yeah. She's really good.
And their chemistry is really good, too.
Yes.
And I think that the thing is if you can kind of... And I'm someone who can get really turned off by overt science fiction really quickly. Like, mm-hmm. I don't need...
I agree.
I don't need it in my life.
Sure.
and
that's fair. I mean, I
think that this movie has so much fat, though. There's so much exposition in this movie. There's so much explanation of what's going on. Yes. And it's needed, unfortunately, because I think it is a fairly complex story. I think this is a classic example of a brilliantly written science fiction novel that lends itself to a beautiful visual movie, but the dialogue and the storytelling is so complex in the book that I don't think it transitions well to a more concise format in the dialogue for a screenplay.
So Dune 1984 is one movie, right? It's not part one.
Yes,
it's one movie. What the hell did they get done in that? Like, what? So again, spoiler alert. It says in the beginning, part one, and I thought, okay, this is long enough
that they're gonna do like what the Snyder Cut did, where you're like, okay, here's gonna be part two. Nope. Apparently, there's another one coming out.
So I don't know if they.
And I would have to go back and watch the original to think about what is missing. It's been 20 years since I've seen the original.
Let's assume. So we end with Chalamet's character still alive, with his mom, Lady Jessica. So Chalamet's character's name is Paul. His mom's Lady Jessica, and they are kind of left. And they're heading with the group that are the Fremen or Freeman or however you say it. Zendaya is there.
Zendaya is so good.
And they're heading towards another battle with the Emperor and Dave Bautista. Right? I mean, what else do you want me to say? Like,
so where are we at on all the crossover stars? So you have Thanos.
Yes.
You have Aquaman.
Right.
You have Poe from the last couple Star Wars.
Yeah.
And we have Zendaya from Spider-Man. It's like they took every good actor from all these other popular IPs and threw them into Dune.
Yes.
And then you have, the art house darling of Timothy Chalamet and putting him in this epic.
So Stellan Skarsgård as Baron.
Okay, so is he the one who plays...
The big, giant dude that you thought was dead with the tooth gas, but then is alive and swimming and
The Skarsgårds are also... His kid is Pennywise.
So Stellan Skarsgård was in, the Marvel Universe, Thor... Like, he's the dad, right? And then his kids. Okay. He's also in Good Will Hunting, of course, which is probably his best movie, in my opinion. You're right, Joel. This cast is just, Rebecca Ferguson, we just saw in Reminiscent with Hugh Jackman, that went to HBO Max. She was in The Greatest Showman. She's been around. Oscar Isaac is awesome. Brolin's great. Momoa shows up.
Duncan Idaho. What a great name for a character.
Momoa just looks like Momoa. And then the next thing you know, he's clean shaven. And you're like... I don't know if I like this guy anymore, but he's a badass in this movie. I guess my thing is, like, so to try and, like, if I was going to sum this up, like, my wife, on paper, my wife would want to watch this because of Jason Momoa. Right, and all these other good-looking men.
I need to find the VHS tape, but I think I have a VHS tape of me playing soccer against Jason Momoa in high school.
That's awesome. She would be jealous. But if I was going to try and summarize it to her, it's like Timothy Chalamet's family rules this one land. They get sent to this other to take over the harvesting of spice, not girls or Spice World or Spice, the adult channel back in the day. They're harvesting this product, and then they're set up for failure. They start to get attacked. By the way, there's also giant tremors.
Worms.
We got worms. What a name for a business. And then they get attacked. His old man kicks the curb, Oscar Isaac. Meanwhile, Timothy's mom is a witch, and then he's got witch power. And, like, they can control people. And then it ends with them walking with Zendaya and her friends. And then it's like part two is going to be another 2.5 hours, which I'm getting to. I think it's going to culminate with Chalamet accessing all of his powers, battling Batista and the Emperor and the Baron, and taking over.
There's a lot of parallelism to the whole Skywalker saga.
Yes,
too. I mean,
yes,
he's got the Chosen One.
But I don't. What I want to say is, like, I watched this on my phone, and Denis or Denise, how are you say his name?
Denis Villeneuve.
Okay, and listen,
come on, French. Arrival, you gotta get your French on.
Arrival is one of the best movies of the last 20 years.
We saw it in the theater together.
Super emotional, powerful. It's brilliant. I don't feel like I did this movie a disservice not seeing in the theater because it's part one of two. I would rather see a complete film, or I'd watch this back to back in the theater, because I'm sure that part of the viewing experience is just that, seeing it in theaters. But I was left unfulfilled, and I feel like I watched Mad Max Fury Road a couple years ago, and there's some similarities between these two. A lot more practical effects in Mad Max, whereas this is a lot of CGI and world building. And it's not that I disliked it. It's fine. Dune is fine, but give me part two right now. I don't want to wait. You know, I don't want to wait. Like, I might lose interest in 2 years.
So I watched it not about 7 feet away from where I'm sitting right now with my sound bar on. And it was, I started it at 12:45 this morning. So I got home from high school football game. My dog didn't want to go to bed because she'd been in her kennel for the last 5 hours. And so, but I have no one in my house. And so I had it cranked all the way up. Like, the subwoofer is right by the couch that I was.
Sure.
And I kind of felt like I was in the theater a little bit. And I encourage you, maybe revisit it with that, because my disinterest towards the end, I do think, had more to do with me being awake for 22 hours. Sure. And I do think that it was fatigue from the movie. I do think it would be really awesome to see it on an IMAX screen.
And I'm with you.
They shot it on IMAX.
I agree. I just don't know if that's going to be enough for me personally to go, wow, that was worth 2 hours and 40 minutes at a theater.
Well, do you think, okay, so now I think we need to get into philosophy here. Mm-hmm. Has the quarantine ruined our ability to justify our time allotment in our day, or has our parenthood ruined our ability to allot this kind of time? Because part of it is just going to experience the experience.
Definitely.
And not having to walk out saying, man, that was the best movie I've ever seen.
I would not have said that at Dune. There's no way.
Okay.
And that's just my initial reaction. I was drawn in, and I know part of it is watching it on a phone is stupid, and I get that. But if I tried to watch it on a 50 or 60 inch TV, I would have lost out to kids and distractions, and I would.
Yeah, I admit I was in the honey hole of I had no other right. no.
And
other
I would watch
people.
This again. Don't get me wrong, but I just I mean, it's better than Halloween Kills,
which I watched Kills on my phone.
Right, so did I. Yeah, it's not good. But Dune, yeah, I mean. Dune looks good, but I would argue that Mad Max Fury Road looked better and was a better story and was kind of similar. When you talk about, like, you know, scarce natural resources and kind of like epic battle sequences and the building up of characters and the You know, I mean, I just feel like for my money, there
were no people being milked in this movie. True. However, that's which
true. I mean, the
Skarsgård, that's honestly, I can't revisit Fury Road. I can't go back and watch it, even though I love it. I love Tom Hardy in it. Charlize was amazing, but I would go back and watch Dune again. I think
I would too. Yeah. Listen, I'm saying, as I text my wife, I'm very rude. I'm saying I would watch Dune again. What I'm also saying is that I just read conflicting stories. It seems like there has to be a Dune 2, but they haven't officially announced it. Dune, the one that we're talking about, has done $129 million globally at the box office, plus, which is very good.
It released on HBO Max.
Right. So it's going to be successful. It'll probably be number one. So this is proof of
concept that you can do both, have box office success when you have the right type.
Yes.
Because this is the kind of movie that people will want to see in the theater because of the special and practical effects. Well,
and they've been building this up. And I think when you talk about a director like Denis Villeneuve, Dennis the Menace,
you need to pay more attention to your French pronunciation.
When you've got a director like Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue, he knows what he's doing.
With a Chicago accent.
Arrival is beautiful. Arrival is, I tried to watch it. It was one of those movies I rewatched within the last 3 months, and my wife was like, do you want to make yourself sad? And I was like, it's just really good because it's a really beautiful movie.
But it is sad. It is very sad.
Sicario is great.
See, I'm the one.
He's great.
I got you on Sicario.
You did. That dog of yours barking. Layla, come on. Lila, Jeff, come on. So... So
we haven't had a fart on the podcast in 3 years.
Come for the content. Stay for me crapping my pants. How professional. Sponsors, where you at?
MeUndies. This is completely derailed.
MeUndies, come get us. Big and tall MeUndies.
Oh, boy.
What I was saying was this dude's directed some great movies. Dune, Blade Runner 2049.
Which was not a
fine.
Good movie.
It was fine. Look, 88% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh, whoop-de-doo.
It was fine. I thought it was fine.
It's serviceable. I guess I just hold the Ridley Scott Blade Runner in such high esteem.
You love Ridley Scott, and rightfully so. But Sicario is really good. It's really good. And Arrival, if you haven't seen it, holy cow. So this guy, he's the kind of director... he should be able to do whatever he wants. I think he's also probably very picky, and he's not rushing to things, which I admire. Well, he also takes
forever, I think, to make movies. He does,
yes, you're absolutely correct. So, pandemic or not, it's a couple of years. Arrival came out, I'm trying to look here, 2017
maybe?
2016, November of 2016. So he does that, and then Blade Runner 2049 had to be 2018, right? As the dog sneezes.
That was the biggest sneeze I've ever heard.
Dune is good. We're going to get comments from people about not having seen it in the theaters. How can you even talk about it? But to Joel's point, when you get older and your time is harder and harder to come by, I'm glad that I didn't use a quote-unquote hall pass to go see this at the theaters. I'm going to be honest. I'd much rather be sitting here with you using a quote-unquote hall pass to talk about movies than having made the case for my wife, hey, I'm going to go see this movie. It's 2.5 hours long. It's going to be late. I'm going to be tired.
Which that's why yesterday afternoon I didn't go see 007.
Right.
A No Time to Die.
Sure.
When I wanted to. I had planned. I was like, okay, my family's gone. But then I was looking at the list of everything I still needed to accomplish in the day.
Sure.
I was like, man, 2 hours and 45 minutes or 2 hours and 37 minutes, whatever No Time to Die is.
It's 3 hours by the time you get...
Yeah, and I just... I want to.
Yeah, you should go tomorrow.
You should go tomorrow. It's going to rain all day. Yeah. I should go.
I'm here to tell you.
Why can't directors just start making things again that tight?
I know.
And I blame Marvel and the Avengers series because they're the ones who popularized, again, putting these epics together and making them.
Yeah.
It used to be the only things that were over 3 hours were Dances with Wolves, where Lawrence of Arabia, it was these big
Scorsese movies occasionally.
Right.
Very long. Casino's very long.
Yeah, I was going to say that was a long one. Mm-hmm. But just maybe think about, if you're going to make part ones, part twos, part threes, let's give us, you know, 100 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think, I don't know if I, and maybe he can't tell the whole story, but you would think,
well, the book I think is like 2,200 pages long.
Holy moly. I need to look that up. What I need to do is, personally, I need to rewatch the 1984 Dune to see if they achieve everything that they wanted to, because certainly there was not a part two as far as we know. And in the meanwhile, you can't go wrong by supporting your local theater or watching Dune on HBO Max. I'm just going to call it, Dune is the winner on this week's Buffer Podcast, handedly defeating Halloween Kills. If anything, Timothée Chalamet is using his worm knife. It's made from a worm tooth. Oh, that's a heck of a knife you have there, Timothy. Yes, the blue-eyed gal said it was made with worm tooth. Like, this movie's kind of kooky at the same time. And then he has visions that she's killing him, and then that doesn't get resolved in part one. I don't know.
I want a wrist shield.
Those are cool. The shields are very cool. I want a
wrist shield. How have we not figured that out
yet? I was a little concerned because I thought when Skarsgård's character... I thought he activated his shield when he starts talking to Oscar Isaac, but then he still breathes and he was able to get the breath through the shield, I guess. And they've showed a couple sequences where things were heading towards them.
The slow blade gets through the shield.
That's right.
There's that whole setup in the training sequence between...
Interesting that the family doctor has to set them up because his wife... But then he gives them the key to take out. That was an interesting sequence. I don't know. There's a lot of good stuff in this movie. And if it's 10% better seeing it in theaters...
Can we just agree that if there's an empire or an emperor, it's just probably not a good situation?
Yeah, it's not going to be good. But I bet that Dune Part 2, whenever that happens, will button everything up nicely.
And I looked it up. The Dune book itself is like 422 pages, holy, but there are, I think, several books in the series. So there's like the Dune Messiah. Like there's the whole Chalamet being like Jesus Christ. He's interesting.
Supposed to be a godlike character.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's interesting. And his name's Paul, which is my dad's name.
No pressure on Paul's out there. But yeah, no, I mean, definitely see Dune and skip Halloween Kills. That's the verdict, right? Yes. Timothée Chalamet's good looks defeat Michael Myers' crispy burnt mask any day. All right, we're going to take a break on the Buffer Podcast. While you take this break with us, consider subscribing, rating, reviewing, and sending underwear.
You need to go wipe.
All right, we're back, everybody. It's awkward taking a break when you're in the same room. Normally, when we're doing this on Zoom, I'm like, I love how your dog is just asleep. My two dogs are like running all over the
place. She sleeps the whole... She's downstairs with me when we do the Zooms, and she just lays right by my feet. And she's sad right now because her family is gone. Gotcha. Like, she's... usually this time of night, she's up wanting to play and retrieve.
She's a little depressed. Because the fam's gone.
Yes. But we walked almost 4 miles today.
Holy moly. That's outstanding.
And we do. And then we had a rousing game of tennis ball fetch. So she's a good pup. Awesome. She's a good dog.
All right. So what are we going into? I don't have my notes in front of me.
We're going to do guilty pleasures.
Okay.
Right now.
I'm going to let you start because I started with Halloween Kills. And I feel like my guilty pleasure...
So am I starting or are you giving us this?
You go ahead. But mine's not going to be that guilty, I don't think, because a lot of people are watching it.
So my guilty pleasure is YouTube. And what I'm saying with YouTube is... you know how we've seen these videos of like the youngsters watching, you know, Phil Collins Against All Odds or whatever, and it's like, oh, this is a banger. Like, like, okay, these are top 50 rock songs of all time that you're acting like, or you're shocked that they were good. And though I'm not talking about these, what I'm talking about here is, instead of those millennials doing it, it's professional voice coaches who will do reaction videos of watching like the lead singer of what's the band? I'm just totally
Nickelback.
Drawing a blank. No.
Cree?
No, the guy who sang the Frozen 2 song, Brandon Urie.
Yes.
So like it'll be a vocal coach watching Brandon Urie singing, mm-hmm. you know, Dream On by Aerosmith at the Miss America or whatever, or it's a Broadway singer that no one's ever heard of, but these vocal coaches are listening to them do freakish things. I turned one of those on the other night at like 10 o'clock as one of my college nerd friends had sent it to me. 2.5 hours later, I was still watching reaction videos of these vocal coaches where it's like, why am I still watching this? And the thing is I'm getting mad because I'm like, you are a fraud. Like, you're not as good as what you think you are. Like, you have these 1,200 followers and it's like, you're not, in my opinion...
So you feel like the right stuff. Vocal coach is taking down people unfairly.
So they're not taking them down, but like the technical term that they're using is not right, correct. Like I find myself being like hypercritical of these YouTube vocal coaches, and then I'm like on a Google deep dive. Okay, is this person? And some of them didn't go to college to be music people, and there may be fraudulent vocal coaches. Like they may just be people who can sing who are teaching now voice.
So you should be doing reactions.
A part of me is like, yeah, but then I also don't have a music degree. Like I changed my major, but. I took all the classes. It's one of those things. But it's, I don't know.
I mean, we're living in a society where people are going viral all the time. And it's becoming, I mean, there are people that are creating content on TikTok that are, there's literally, and I know you're not a big TikTok guy, but there's this one account that just will react to videos. And 90% of it is the guy going, is that cream? And it's pretty funny.
Well, sure.
But that's what this guy is doing.
But these people aren't trying to be funny. These people are trying to be like, oh, that growl. I love that little thing they did there. And it's like, yeah, but the mechanics that you're actually describing are not true. And there's high school kids somewhere like watching this and trying to emulate. But what you're doing is actually telling them to do that wrong. But whereas the singer who's doing it, like a Kelly Clarkson or mm-hmm. like they're doing it correctly. They've been trained. They've been taught. And I, my concern is, again, total picking nits at this. But it's why it became such a guilty pleasure is because I just found myself stuck in this vortex of some really good reactions and others where I'm like, oh, this isn't right. And then I also discovered some singers I hadn't heard in a while and some people I hadn't ever heard of.
So the issue is with the reactor.
Not the singer. Okay. It's with the reactor.
It's the reactor's abilities or inabilities to pass judgment.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, think about doing it, right? I mean, you don't have
so much time.
Right? That's what I was going to say. Because how do you find the videos to react to? That's how I feel
Harvard beat Princeton in football.
That's how I feel about these TikTok folks that, I mean, TikTok isn't known to pay out as much as like if you have an active YouTube channel, you know, you're monetizing that. But like these people on TikTok, they're cranking out content all the time. And
if I'm going to do something, it will be on TikTok and it will be my mouth trumpet videos where I'm just sitting on my couch just going. Just doing the girl from Ipanema.
Yeah.
I have an actual trumpet player in my house now.
Oh, Garrett. Nice.
He is fifth grade band. He's playing the trumpet. And so we'll have duets. Like he'll play Hot Cross Buns.
And then and you're I'll doing play the Hot mouth Cross trumpet.
Yeah, so. I'll do harmony.
And you're in tune when you're doing this?
Yeah. Come on, man.
This is me reacting to you play the mouth trumpet. That guy playing the mouth trumpet. Like, that could be our YouTube series. That could be our YouTube channel. I react to your mouth trumpet.
What is that? He's stupid.
And then we get, like, some whipped cream involved. And then the TikTok guy just goes, cream? And that's it. Like, he's selling merch that say cream.
What would our merch be?
I don't know. Anything, damn it. These people are making money hand over fist, and it's stupid, funny stuff.
Our merch would be skivvies that look, they're pre-skid marked. Like,
Listen, I just think if one of my kids isn't famous, I'm doing it wrong, damn it. What am I doing here? I'm kidding, of course.
This is the most millennial parent statement ever.
Come on, kids, get famous, will you? So, guilty pleasure, even though it is at this moment the number one top in the United States on Netflix, it is season 3 of You. Now, I came to the You party late. My wife was an OG. She was right from the jump with Penn and the crew, and I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was...
You made fun of me for watching the show.
I did. I thought it was going to be way too much of just like a... I don't want to say soap opera, but that was the vibe that I got. Like
Gossip Girl. Yes, that's what you thought.
Yes. And then I got into You and it's really good. And season 2 is very good. And season 3 just released and it's 10 episodes and I binged it and I was satisfied with the conclusion. My wife and I were talking about this yesterday and I said to her, one of my favorite seasons of a television show ever is Dexter season 4 when John Lithgow's character shows up. It's phenomenal television. It's absolutely great. The ending is just, it's everything you want.
The series should have ended after that season.
It could, in my opinion. I know it's coming back in a couple weeks on Showtime, whatever. But listen, that's a perfect TV season, in my opinion, Dexter season 4. So for people that are like, what are they going to do with another You season? I want to tell you, like, Dexter, yes. Should it have ended after 4? Maybe. The season with Tom Hanks' kid, Colin Hanks, was okay. Season 5 was awful of Dexter. I'm here to say, I don't know how many more seasons of You they're going to do. But if I were them, and of course I'm not, I would do one or two more. Don't feel pressure to crank out 10 of these seasons. We don't need that. I think you could get a season or two more. And maybe Joe meets his demise or ends up in jail. It's probably not going to happen. But I know that Joel, there's a lot of people that are pissed that Joe in season 3 of You lives to see another day. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Maybe you're supposed to say that at the beginning. You're supposed to say that
before.
He doesn't die. He's in France, Paris.
I haven't finished the season yet, though.
So he dead.
It's all right.
But it's really good. And, you know, it's well acted. A little hokey. I did fast forward some of the episodes of You because I'm like, I don't need to watch them in therapy.
So,
and maybe that's bad.
Can I tell you why I kind of stopped after episode 4?
Yes.
It's the hangover effect. And what I mean by that is I almost tapped out on the movie The Hangover because of the baby.
Gotcha.
I don't like watching things that have a baby around bad people or in bad situation. There's just something like it makes me really anxious, really uncomfortable. And you know, they've got this kid and her mom. Whenever that stupid car seat is in frame, I can't focus on anything other than, can you just not do anything bad with the kid there? I think about that all the time.
The kid's okay.
Well, I know that, but it's okay. Like, but he's still, parents are serial killers.
You don't know that the kid's okay because he didn't finish.
But the parents are serial killers.
They are.
So,
but the kid's
ultimately,
okay.
Like, in Dexter, when they have the flashbacks to the container, like, yeah. In the first season, it almost gets me to tap out because I can't do kids in trauma.
Well, then how did you survive season 4 when he kills his wife and the kid's in the blood? Like, that super intense.
I'm struggled with it.
Maybe you watched that when you didn't have kids. That's probably why. That's pre-kids.
Maybe I did. I don't know.
I know what you mean. Once you become a parent or just older.
No, but Hangover came out when I was a senior in college. Like, I didn't have kids then. Listen, none that I know of. I'm kidding. Gosh, my mom listens to
not
this.
Not at the table, no, Carlos.
There was no.
Oh, your mom bailed after I farted. Let's be honest. She was like, along with half the audience, I'm out. He just farted. They didn't edit it out. Or you did edit it out, and now I'm referencing it. And they're like, wait, there was a fart I missed? That was probably funny.
I'm going to have to keep it in now.
Oh, it's a wooden chair. So anyways, You is number one on Netflix for a good reason. It's very popular.
It's your guilty pleasure.
It's a guilty pleasure. Yeah. Okay. We're going to step inside the confessional, everybody.
Confessions.
I'm sticking with Netflix, the second most popular thing in the world,
and on Netflix right now is Squid Game. I think I've watched 5 minutes, season one, episode one of Squid Game. And I'm, part of me feels like I'm being that guy. It's 9 episodes. They're varying lengths from an hour to 30 minutes to 50 minutes. Average length of an episode of Squid Game is about 50 minutes, we'll call it. At this point, is it worth it to watch it? I can deduce what happens. It seems like it's very well made. A lot of great content over the last few years has been originated by Korean producers, directors, writers, actors, and it's awesome. I just don't know. Am I too late to the Squid Game party? Is it gonna? Am I missing out? Should I jump in? I don't know.
I was gonna confess this exact same thing.
Oh boy,
I haven't seen. I watched the first 2 minutes of the first episode.
I watched the parody they did on SNL.
See, and I think that's the only thing. Good. That's the only thing that is piquing my interest to go back.
Sure,
is that it's in such the zeitgeist right now that I feel my FOMO is kicking in. I'm like, oh, am I missing something?
I get it.
But I also think this category kind of generated from the movie or the TV show Lost for me. Mm-hmm. Lost was the show that I never watched, but faked my way so people didn't think less of me because I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Squid Game is the next. Squid Game is your drawers. Squid Game is the show that is going to be the new Lost for me. Where it's like, I will never see it, but I'll understand the references when I see them and hear them, but I won't actually know what they're about.
Yeah, and I think there's people that, and it's not the same because Joe Exotic hit during the peak of lockdown, but Squid Game is definitely a phenomenon, and it's going to be around for the foreseeable future, right? There'll be another season. You talk about things that are on YouTube. It's everywhere. It is in, if it's on SNL, it's everywhere. Joel, it's being referenced on every today. You know what I mean? It's, you said the zeitgeist is a perfect way to describe it. So I don't know if I should watch it and go, wow, that was really good. Or if I watch it and I'm disappointed, I'm going to be kind of mad because it's a lot of content to watch.
Yeah. And I don't feel bad. That's where I'm at. I don't feel bad. So we have the same confession this week.
I think, though, am I a hypocrite? Because I watched Halloween Kills, which was terrible, and that was an hour and 45 minutes. So I could get through maybe an episode or two of Squid Game. Maybe I need to gauge it.
You know, when I talked about our friend and listener and my broadcast partner for high school football, Ben Nitzel, he can give, he that's his whole argument for movies, is that it's a self-contained 1 hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours for one thing, and that's all you ever need to know about that one particular thing.
It's fair.
An hour and 35 minute episode of Squid Game, that's episode 3, you still have 7-8 more hours to allocate to that, and maybe it's worth it, maybe it's not. I think that that's where, at our stage of life, and we're not in Ben's stage, I mean, he's got a whole bunch of kids. But we've got only so much time, and I think that's where giving an hour 45 to Halloween Kills versus 10 hours to Squid Game, I think, is justifiable neglect on the show side. So
yeah, that's a good way to put it. And there is, quite frankly, as I just pull up, there is so much content coming down the pike in the next
couple months. 9 weeks to Christmas.
Holy moly.
Which means 8 weeks to me being 40.
Oh, yes. And Ghostbusters Afterlife coming soon. All right, let's do our dress socks and Crocs, and then we'll wrap this up because we're going to go have a cocktail. And by that, I mean we're going to see who can crap their pants on the podcast.
Slappy, tappy, wait.
Dress socks and Crocs.
So embarrassing. Is it like the most unprofessional thing ever to do?
This is what happens when. So what? This is really good for the listener,
right? Because
this is what our office was like at the radio station when we worked together.
Yes,
it was. We have to put together scripts for radio ads. We go to our little brainstorm room, and it was just literally a crapshoot.
Right.
I mean, you never knew what sort of restaurant aggravated our system from the free food that we would get.
Right.
And then, it was bad, but we came up with some great ads. Some of them never saw the light of day. There's a pest control ad that I'm so mad never happened. That would have lampooned a Biggie Smalls
yes.
song.
So good.
Throw your hands in the air if you need a bug sprayer. What, I don't know how that didn't get made and how that didn't get accepted.
Well, maybe with our friend, you know, our friend's future endeavors, maybe it has a chance. I don't want to say anything
but it was just so perfect for that.
You're right and I think the other
that's
thing
the only
is,
thing I miss about that job is creating commercials.
It was pretty fun, and what's nice is not having a mute button on my end, so it's we're as this you almost wish that people are listening live, because that's what we're doing. We're sitting here, it's 7 o'clock on the dot, we're in the Midwest, so you look outside.
Oh, I thought you said we're in our drop top cruising, cruising the street.
But you look outside, Joel, and it's
pitch black.
I think I have seasonal depression, because the sun doesn't rise until I check this morning, 7:25, and it's pitch black at 7 p.m.
So seasonal depression, you're talking about that. I'm not going to talk about BetterHelp. If you want to sponsor the podcast. But whenever it gets to this time of year, I think of the movie Insomnia, which is an underrated Robin Williams performance. Yes. We haven't podded since the viral video of the screen test of the Robin Williams.
So good. Yes.
That has to get made, doesn't it?
I don't see how it couldn't. Yeah, I don't.
After how the viral... And who is that? Jamie? Is that his name? I'm trying to remember.
He was
Jamie
amazing.
Costa or Costa?
Costa, yeah.
What a ballsy thing to do.
I know.
Too. Let's just I have a friend who's a good actress.
Yeah.
Let's make something that's beautiful, that looks real, and it's really just me going viral, but doing something that I want to do. I think that's so cool that could be the wave of the future as far as how you pitch stuff and get things made.
I mean, the lead singer of Journey is from YouTube.
Right.
Right? So who's to say that can't be the case? I think you're 100% right. That original video has, I can't even find it. This is the thing that happens. Yeah, it has to have over 100 million views by now. But yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. And to your point, Insomnia, directed by Christopher Nolan, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's one of Nolan's first movies, right?
Super good. The Robin screen test, I can't find it.
It's Pacino, Robin Williams, Christopher Nolan. That's the movie.
Yes, very good, very good. I can't find the Robin.
So yeah, we're in dress socks and Crocs now, by the way. But it just you saying the seasonal depression thing makes me think of Insomnia.
I hate it. Okay, so you are living dress socks and Crocs right now because your family is gone. You're Kevin McAllister.
I am. Which Home Alone, the new Disney Plus one?
Home Sweet Home Alone, sir.
Where are we at on that?
Where are we at? We're going to watch that 100% in my house.
Maybe Brido can hook us up with his buddy Pete Holmes so we can get him on the show.
Yeah, I think that we'll watch that on Disney Plus. It comes out in a couple weeks. 1,000,000% we're going to watch it. Is it going to be good or not? It's Home Alone in Britain. They're in Britain. Is that the only difference?
They're in Chicago because Buzz is the actual cop. In the trailer, you have Buzz McAllister in a police uniform.
Woof.
So anyways, you are Kevin
McAllister
right now. I'm living the dream. I'm home alone right now.
Yes.
Instead of a tarantula, I have an 85-pound yellow lab.
Yes.
And it's, you know, 10 years ago, this would have been like, go get the Solo cups, go get a thing of paper plates. I'm not doing dishes.
This podcast would sound a lot different 10 years ago. Right now, it's 7 o'clock.
Well, my wife used to go visit her parents for a week.
Holy moly.
And I would be home by myself, and
thank
it would
God
literally
we weren't
be,
friends then, because we would be dead.
Oh, yeah, but now it's like I made a list. Let me read you.
Oh no,
the list. And this is not the list my wife made for me. This is my personal list. Fall break list is what it's called.
Is one of them plugging in that clapper that you have on your counter?
Well, we could talk about the clapper. Fall break list.
Nothing.
Cut tall decorative grass down. Clean garage. Ooh, oh, I can check both of those off the list. I did those today.
Nice.
Move snowblower to garage.
Oh, geez.
Haven't done that yet. Clean and organize closet. Mow if needed. It was needed. It was done. And weed landscaping. And then do towel laundry. Do sheet laundry. And and clean dust and vacuum the house and clean bathrooms.
Jeez Louise.
This is my list. This isn't even the list that like Lindsay like sent me of things to do.
You have your own list?
I made my own list. That's how lame sauce I have become. It's I took a day off of work yesterday genuinely just to get work done.
Wow. Because I the expectation that like everything... Because the thing that and I'm not saying this is the case here, but like we don't live in a museum. And sometimes I feel like when you're prepping your house for like a birthday party or a gathering, you stage it, and rightfully so. You want it to be presentable. But then there's that time in the middle where you have kids and things happen. Like you should almost tidy your house. Like I think the solution maybe needs to be get your kids to their grandparents' house for an hour, turbo clean, and then bring them back. Because there's no, like, I mean, you could get away with this because everybody's gone. But is the expectation that this is like the Taj Mahal on Monday when they come back?
There's the expectation that it's not going to be like she feels like she needs to not unpack and clean
because
I've made a mess.
That's very fair.
First off, we're not. It's never the Taj Mahal. I mean, my wife ran a business out of this home for 8 years.
Right.
Well, not this home for 8 years, but
sure.
The expectation is that it doesn't look like I sat on my ass all weekend. And the expectation is that it needs to be at least in the same condition it was when they left.
Fair.
Now, I have to give my wife a ton of credit. I am what is called clutter blind. Mm-hmm. I don't see clutter, and I've had to try to change that.
Mm-hmm.
I have 3 children, 10, 8, and 5. My wife is phenomenal at building task lists that are age appropriate so that the kids have their jobs to do as well. So you mentioned your kids going to your grandma's for an hour so you guys can just get stuff done.
Sure.
Like my kids do a ton. Doing it, huh? Like my oldest son vacuums the house.
Wow.
My daughter folds laundry. That's awesome. Like laundry. She cleans up the kitchen. They all can clean their bathrooms together.
Sure.
So they all have like age appropriate. And I take zero credit for that part of our life. My wife has done a great job of figuring all of that stuff out and teaching our kids what to do. But I'm just my dress socks and Crocs are the fact that the people should be proud of that. One, I've been sober this entire time. And two, that...
you have a basement bath.
yes, I do.
Thank goodness. You made short ribs. And my stomach appreciates it. My bowels also appreciate it.
So that was the other thing is I've been experimenting with recipes. So I smoked some beef short ribs that we had for supper tonight.
You did.
And they were delicious. And then I made crepes for the first time.
Wow.
I made Cajun beer bread. Like we're just trying out some new recipes because I am the primary cook in the family.
And I'm going to make toilets.
For it. You don't have to go to the basement. We have.
I think this calls for a basement bathroom. No offense. Like. That, and there's nothing better than a basement bathroom. I'm going to go quick because I need to go quick. Mine is just pumpkins. So we...
David S. Pumpkins?
In our house, we are very obsessed with getting pumpkins and decorating pumpkins. Somehow not carving them. And I'm here to say, as a father of 3, painting pumpkins are cool. Have not had to do the mess... The kids are grossed out. Then you try and like bake the pumpkin seeds and they're never as good as they should.
That's gross.
I like pumpkin seeds.
Oh, you can take your pepitas and shove them up your...
They're never good. So we have painted pumpkins and I'm okay with that.
See, and I disagree with you because I am such a poor artist. But my pumpkin artistry is like the one thing I can do.
Carving?
Yeah. Like as is evident by my...
Oh, wow. Look at that.
My puppy carving. So I took a picture of my dog and I recreated it on...
That's pretty good.
And I've done the Eagles mascara, Eagles logo from freehand. So I, again, can't paint, can't draw.
Sure.
But I can carve pumpkins.
I love it.
I can't clean pumpkins out. It makes you want to vomit.
All right. We're going to wrap this up because I am going to...
go have this a conversation.
Brought to you by
Pepto-Bismol, everybody. Oh, my Lanta.
All right, listen.
My Lanta's perfect.
That I is need perfect. Thank you for listening to the Buffer Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or Anchor.fm. And we'll be back very soon with another episode.
Peace.